This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks. 100 million Americans live with chronic pain, and that's the subject of this week's Common Health segment. Specifically, at issue is a new policy at Walgreens, the nation's largest pharmacy chain, that might add an extra step to the process of procuring a prescription for pain medicine. Walgreens is now requiring pharmacists to verify prescriptions for certain controlled substances, which means they might contact doctors and make sure they were correct in prescribing pain relievers and other controlled drugs before giving patients their medication. Many patients and physicians call this a bad idea. And joining me now to talk about this is Carrie Goldberg, co-host of WBUR's Common Health blog. She joins us every Monday. Hey, Carrie.
Hey, Anthony.
So, Carrie, put this into perspective for us. There's been a lot of debate recently about painkiller abuse. What's going on here?
Right. Well, over the last couple of years especially, you've been able to really see the debate over painkillers heating up in the United States. And partly that's because there was a real explosion of these very potent painkillers in the 90s and the 2000s. You've surely heard of oxycodone, OxyContin, and then there's also Vicodin. And what happened was that more and more people were using them, and there were more and more overdoses. So it's now painkiller overdoses are now by far the biggest cause of drug overdoses in the United States. At the same time, as you mentioned, there are 100 million people with chronic pain, and they need to be able to get legitimate treatment for their pain. So it's creating this great sort of national discussion about how do we walk this line? How do we make sure that the people who need pain treatment get it, and at the same time try to limit the abuse that can lead to overdose deaths?
So how does the Walgreens policy, the new policy from Walgreens, fit into this?
Earlier this summer, the Walgreens company, which is the nation's biggest pharmacy operator, paid a gigantic fine to the federal government to resolve charges that it had failed to properly control the sales of narcotic painkillers at some of its stores. It paid $80 million, which the Drug Enforcement Administration described as the biggest fine ever paid by a pharmacy chain. Now, personally, I'm connecting these dots, even though Walgreens doesn't. But, you know, not long afterwards came this new policy that is Walgreens trying to control better, tighten up its provision of painkillers to its customers.
All right. Well, let's bring another voice into this conversation. Judy Foreman is a health columnist and author of the forthcoming book, A Nation in Pain, Healing Our Biggest Health Problem. She wrote about the Walgreens painkiller issue for Common Health. And Judy, thanks so much for joining us. Good to have
you
back.
Sure, my pleasure.
So, Judy, talk about this extra step, asking pharmacists to reconfirm prescription with doctors. Is this a big deal in your view?
Yes, it is a big deal for several reasons. Walgreens sent out what they called a Dear Valued Prescriber letter earlier this summer. And as Carrie mentioned, they don't exactly connect the dots with the Walgreens settlement, but the timing is certainly indicative that it's all connected. It asks pharmacists basically to call up the doctor, or at least the doctor's office, and ask questions about whether the prescription was really necessary, whether the length of the therapy is right, whether the patient had tried previous medications and how they had worked or not worked. And patients obviously have trouble with this because it will de facto mean that they have more problems getting the medication in a timely way. And doctors are not happy with this because they see it as a direct intrusion into their practice. They're seeing the pharmacist kind of butting in to what they see as the legitimate doctor role.
It's really interesting, too, because, I mean, of course, it could really result in a delay, right? One could imagine the pharmacist reaching out to a doctor's office and the doctor wouldn't be immediately available, right?
Oh, absolutely. Anyone who's tried to call their doctor knows it can take a day or two for the doctor to get back to them, to get back to the pharmacy. I mean, it really does, or certainly can and has in some instances already, created definite delays. And it has kind of a spiraling effect, too, because I heard from one woman in South Florida where these pill mills, as they've been named, the unscrupulous doctors handing out painkillers really willy-nilly, the patient goes from pharmacy to pharmacy just trying to get her normal dose of pain medicine filled, and she and others can fall afoul of this thing called the prescription monitoring program, where it's set up to track people who so-called doctor shop or pharmacy shop. So these people who are just trying to get their prescriptions filled may fall afoul of that net also.
Well, Judy, on the other hand, I mean, you mentioned, and so did Carrie, the whole story about Walgreens paying that big fine earlier this summer, the problem with these pill mills. I mean, how big a problem is painkiller abuse? And if it is a problem, doesn't it warrant some kind of response?
Any overdose death from a narcotic, also called opioids, is one too many. But the context is important because, yes, there have been, according to government figures, 16,651 opioid-related deaths in the most recent year. But there were also 7,000 to 10,000 deaths from NSAIDs like ibuprofen, which are not risk-free. You know, any given year, there's 80,000 people dying from alcohol overdose and 400,000 some odd from tobacco. So we tend to focus on the opioids because they're very dramatic and they make headlines. But what doesn't make headlines is, you know, a 60-year-old woman with crippling arthritis who can't get her pain meds and is lying on the couch all day, not being able to work or take care of her family or play bridge or whatever. So it's really a question of context. That's the really important thing.
Well, then finally, though, how do we walk that fine line between making sure people have the medicine that they need and avoiding abuse?
I think basically, you know, at the most basic level, you start by training doctors in pain education in medical school. You put more federal money into pain research. And you rethink this whole policy of the war on drugs, because basically that's been a failure. I think you sort of have to get out of the criminal mindset that all doctors are potential pill pushers and all patients are potentially scamming their doctors. You kind of have to flip that around. And if you have to err on the side of believing the patient, and I know people are going to get burned, doctors are going to get burned, patients are going to rip off doctors, but I think the bulk of the problem is that the pain patients aren't being well served.
Carrie, what have people been saying in response to this post on Common Health?
Well, the responses have actually highlighted why this is such a difficult issue, even in the specific case of this Walgreens policy change and how it's playing out. We got, for example, one response from someone who's apparently a pharmacist who said, you know, we've had this policy for more than 3 months, and I've actually only made 2 phone calls to prescribers, and I've only refused 3 prescriptions, and the total delay for each prescription was only about 20 minutes. So that would seem like it's not much of a problem. But then on the other hand, we had a patient write in and say, you know, I was denied last week and I have no criminal record. I just use my meds as they're prescribed. I don't even get the maximum amount. I asked why I was denied, or, you know, why there was this delay. And I was told to call a 1-800 number. And when I called that, they told me to ask the pharmacist. And so, you know, what am I supposed to do? So basically, here you have a patient in pain who is, in fact, finding that their fulfilling of their prescription is being delayed. So it's hard. It's hard. And yet, you know, it is the number one cause of overdose deaths in the country. So I think, you know, that's why the headlines are, in fact, so big lately and why it is such a big issue.
Really interesting problem. Judy Foreman, she's a health columnist and author of the forthcoming book, A Nation in Pain, Healing Our Biggest Health Problems. She wrote about the Walgreens painkiller policy for WBUR's Common Health blog. Judy, thanks so much for joining us today.
You're very welcome.
And Carrie Goldberg, co-host of WBUR's Common Health blog. She joins us every Monday here on Radio Boston. Thank you, Carrie.
You're welcome, Anthony.
And listeners, you can find more information and a link to Judy Foreman's post at radioboston.org. And still ahead on our program, A Fort of Nine Towers, a memoir of a childhood in Afghanistan interrupted by civil war. Qais Akbar Omar, from Kabul to Quincy. That's just ahead on our program. I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.